Welcome to the Black Vinyl Collective. This week we're continuing our theme of DIY-ness. We've been talking about records and how to put that out, etc., etc., etc. Today we have a very special guest who is going to talk to us about his experience with Kickstarter. Trav and Seth are with me as always.
And hello.
Also joining us is Alex, most recently notably of Solomor's fame. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you, thank you.
So we've spent some time, and a lot of the people that listen to the podcast, I think, are Veritas fans, and a lot of those people, I get a lot of questions from them. How do I put out a record? How do I do this? Because it's all very DIY. And so we have those discussions about related topics from time to time, and Trav came up with the brilliant idea, because he is brilliant.
Yes, that is true. I've looked it up, I've confirmed it, and it is even on Wikipedia.
Yes.
It's Urban Dictionary.
Mm-hmm. He had the brilliant idea. He said, hey, I know Alex. I played on that record. That record had a successful Kickstarter, a air quotes successful Kickstarter campaign. Let's talk to him so we can get the real scoop on what's going on. So here we are.
Here we are.
So tell us all how to raise $50,000 for our next album.
Sure. Well, apparently...
Are you required to spell knives incorrectly? That's my first question.
Yes. Apparently, you have to already be famous and then not have to worry about it.
That's where we went wrong.
That's the problem.
Darn it, anyway.
Yeah. Now, the Kickstarter, it went better than I thought it would, which was nice. What you're not really prepared for is all the little back-end fees, which I think is what... when you have the Kickstarter lovers and Kickstarter haters, that's kind of the point that divides them. And you're just sort of thrown under the bus, too. Like, you don't know what's going on. You have to set up all these crazy accounts. It was real frantic at the beginning.
You guys had a good response to it, though. I mean, a lot of people came out to support that.
Yeah, we had a pretty good response. It was just about... Like, as far as number of people that responded to it, it was just about what I expected it to be. Raised a little more money than I thought we would, but we ended up losing a lot more money than I thought we would, too. So it was kind of a trade-off there.
I briefly looked into it. I actually did set one up for the Empty Tomb release. And as I was kind of looking into it and actually getting it set up, I was blown away by all the things. Oh, well, you're going to lose this much here and this much here. And then, oh, you better take Amazon payments and Amazon's going to eat you up for this much. And there was a crazy amount. So there's a lot of stuff hidden in there. And there's a lot of stuff people don't think about. Like, I see Kickstarters all the time where a band is trying to raise $5,000, say, to record an album, to release an LP, release a CD, make T-shirts, make sweatshirts. And I mean, $5,000, that's... I mean, if you're going to do an LP, there's your LP and your sweatshirts. What about everything else? And so what if you only sell 6 pre-order packages for the LP? You're still stuck pressing 300 to 500. There's a lot of things people don't think about, and I think it's wise to make an informed decision before you start to make a Kickstarter. I'm kind of anti-Kickstarter, just fair warning. I'm not completely anti-Kickstarter, but I have my beef with it. So I think a lot of people kind of get taken advantage of there, and... Kind of like you're saying, there's all kinds of stuff that pops up that you're not aware of.
Yeah, if there were a couple pieces of advice that I have for anybody considering it, I'd say plan it out more from beginning to end. Like everything, give yourself a good safety margin, and do all your research and talk to other bands that have done it too. Like remember, these are just people like you are, so you can go on Kickstarter, find their email addresses, like direct message them and say, hey, what should I look out for? And you know, usually the stories you hear about are the ones that are either like huge success stories, like, you know, a guy wants to make a grilled cheese sandwich and ends up throwing a grilled cheese sandwich festival or whatever. What was it? Potato salad festival that raised like $50,000.
Something ridiculous.
Or people that, like, you know, it just goes horribly for them and they end up, you know, losing money on the deal. But yeah, talk to the regular people.
Okay, I have a question right there.
Sure.
Stop right there. You threw Solomor's out there, and if memory serves, we were aiming for $2,000.
Yeah, $2,500, I think, was the original.
Okay, and we earned over $6,000, so mm-hmm. we are the air quote successful ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you fall short of your goal and you're not successful, what? I would think that it's set up that, okay, what fees? What do you lose at that point? Because I don't have to make an album now, or I don't have to write a book or whatever, you know?
Yeah, if you don't make your minimum, then the whole thing's just canceled. Like, everything's canceled. So you kind of have nothing to lose, but there's just a lot of things that come up that you don't expect.
Right.
If you want to talk about the fees first, I don't remember all the numbers, but I know Kickstarter, they took more at the time. Now I think they take 5%, 3.7%. You have to sign up with Amazon to take the payments, which is really awkward.
I think that's different now. I think they discontinued Amazon. They're using Stripe now. Yeah. I think they just announced that.
That's better. The Amazon thing was a disaster because nobody uses it. So it was a pain in the butt to sign up and to use it. And so the money goes from Kickstarter to Amazon. They hold it, and then you have to transfer it to your bank. So I had a 2.9% transfer fee for that. Then there's obviously state, local, and federal taxes, and you have to figure all that into. So I think you can – it was something like from the like $6,000, we ended up with like $4,300 after all the fees, and then there's taxes on top of that.
Okay.
So you can get taxed up to the worst case scenario that I saw was like 44%.
Oh.
Before all your deductions and everything. So the bracket ended up being...
That's you personally being taxed. That's not Solomore's LLC. That's That's Alex getting taxed.
That's me. And that was one of the things, since this was kind of unknown territory, I wanted to take all that risk on my head so everybody wouldn't end up getting screwed. And the whole Kickstarter thing, like, we didn't plan it out ahead of time. Jason kind of pushed for it a little bit. Jason Wisdom, the singer. So I wish I would have looked into it a little bit ahead of time, but anyway, we're still talking about the fees. So,
right.
In terms of like taxes, you're an independent contractor, and that's all on your head. So there's no advice, no guidelines, no anything like that on the Kickstarter site. That you're just kind of expected to do that, and it's where a lot of musicians kind of get bit in the butt too, because they don't know anything about tax law. But you can deduct all your stuff, obviously, as a business expense if you put that in there. It's also a percentage of net, so whatever you bring after all your fees. And ideally, what you would want to do is make less than the $8,900 minimum taxable and then spend everything in the first year on the business. That's kind of best case scenario for the taxes. Then you can take it down to about 15.3%. That's what you're going to end up paying. Sorry, that's not exciting. So I just figured I'd throw some numbers at you.
No, that's fine. That is the stuff that I think people need to know.
Yeah, I think it's really good to know, because I know a lot of people. Excuse me. I know a lot of people are, I think the average American single income is about $40,000, something like that. Last time I heard that statistic turn out, and if you're making that much money, and suddenly you've got, let's say your Kickstarter goes nuts and you make $15,000 or $20,000. You're now probably in a whole nother tax bracket, and if you're like me and you have a whole ton of kids, and if you're on, well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people. I live in a pretty
1,000 pounds of kids, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
All that hotness, all that smartness, and funny too. No, I mean, I live in a real depressed area. I live in a real rural area. A lot of people are super poor, and a lot of people, they're on food stamps, or their kids get government health care, or they're whatever. I don't even know all the stuff. But if that's the case, if you suddenly add $15,000 to your income, you might be losing your insurance. You might be losing your whatever it is that you're depending on. And so there's a lot of things that, and maybe that's not an issue everywhere, but that's one thing that comes to mind to me, is that can change your whole life, really, you know? And then you're getting jacked with all these fees and blah, 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 blah.
Alex, did that $6,000 affect you? Since you said you took Solomore's completely on, as it was like Alex's thing. We weren't Solomore's LLC. I didn't sign anything. Mm. You earned $6,000 extra for Solomore's that year, correct?
$6,000 period that year, so it didn't affect me so much.
Oh, okay.
Here, here.
Okay. Well, all right, then it didn't affect you, but I can see the point. if you would have been making an income and that $6,000 pushed you from this peg to that peg,
would have been a problem.
You can get yourself into some, like he's saying, you can get yourself into some situation where now your kids don't qualify for free lunch at school anymore. Oh crap, I need an extra $150 a month now. I can't pull that out of the Kickstarter fund, you know?
Right.
So, you know, little stuff like that. I never thought of that, and I wonder how many bands out there. Like, I see a lot of big bands. Seth has a bunch of stats, and he's our statistician guy. But there's bands you've never heard of that are trying. They do their little 2-minute video, and you know, I bought a wallet. I bought a minimalist wallet off Kickstarter, and the guy did a really nice presentation and everything. And I was like, okay, I'll help this guy out. He's from Oregon. He's a bicyclist. He seems like everybody else I would hang out with. It's a piece of shit. Thing fell apart on me, and okay. He sent me another one. Okay, thanks. Now this one's falling apart. I think I'm done with that now. I don't know if that guy was like, if all that stuff fell under him, or if he set up his own LLC or something like that. But I think that cat dragged in like $300,000.
Wow.
Yeah, like a lot. Like when I went to see it, I was it was staggering. The numbers kind of dropped my jaw. So if you're just some guy like Jesse's talking about making $40,000, and I come up with this cool idea for a wallet. And now that year I made $340,000. Stuff is different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the throw under the bus thing that I was talking about earlier. You can be a victim of your own success, which we kind of did. There were a couple things that affected us, but one of them was there's no way to block overseas merchandise, which was horrible.
Oh, okay.
I had no intention of shipping anything overseas. And since our project went super long, like a, you know, 10 months or whatever that was, the rates got jacked twice between the time we set the prices at the beginning. And then by the time we got to send them out, they had risen again. So overseas shipping was like $5.85 or something like that to Central Europe. And that went up to almost $13. So if you take that and multiply it by like 200 orders, you know. That's a lot of cash.
So that right there, be aware that if you're a band and one of your I forget what they call it, the different tiers that they have, if you pledge higher and now I want a hoodie and some kid in Norway likes your band, you now have to mail a hoodie to Norway. It's going to cost more than the freaking hoodie did, you know?
Yep, exactly. Like some of the orders, like some country, Australia, for some reason, costs $1 billion to send things there.
Yeah.
So like,
I just mailed an LP there. It was like $23.
It's because half of it gets delivered by kangaroo. It's very difficult. It's a hard delivery to do.
And I had like half a dozen orders that went there, and they were like full package. So like, you know, the CD and the all the special stuff and a T-shirt and a hoodie and everything. So
right.
By the time I got that down as small as I could get it, it was like $37 to send out.
Yeah, there's no way you can count for that.
No, and we charged them like $9.
Right.
So that was a problem there. But, I mean, to put it in simpler terms, let's say you just miss, you know, you underestimate U.S. shipping and then you buy a dollar and then you end up selling, you know, 1,000 orders or something like that. Well, that just right there, that's $1,000 you need weren't planning on. So.
I didn't think of that. That's a good point. This sounds like a good opportunity to take a break. We should play some tunes.
Right.
I remember when I joined Alex in the band Alathian back in 99, and I remember sitting at work on the phone going back and forth about what bands we were into, and I just assumed nobody listens to the stuff I listen to because I'm insane. And he and I had a lot of comparisons, and one of the bands that he brought up that got my attention was Cynic. And when I asked him, what band do you what song do you want to play, he actually mentioned the Cynic song. So Alex, you want to introduce the song that you're going to play?
Which one did I tell you?
You said... You
Evolutionary said, Sleeper,
yes,
was that the one?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Yeah, Evolutionary Sleeper by Cynic.
ocean erring sleeper, an evolution erring sleeper.
So aside from Kickstarter and Pledge Music and Indiegogo, there's another site out there that people are talking, good, bad, or the other, about, and it's Patreon. And it's a play on the word patron. And it was started by this guy, Jack Conte, who a couple years ago... What?
Jack what?
Jack Conte.
Okay.
C-O-N-T-E, I believe. And for those following along at home and taking copious notes. It was a couple years ago, actually, with you, Travis. We were watching a Pomplemousse video. The song was like Another Day or something like that. And catchy as heck song. And seriously, that was like two and a half years ago, I think. And it was great. So anyway, years later... I find this Patreon site that people are talking about, and I see some pictures and the people doing the video in it, and one of them is Jack Conte. Whoa, cool. It's the dude from Pomplemousse. And the idea behind Patreon is you do things regularly, and instead of raising a bunch of money all at once and hoping to get like that big chunk of money, people just give you money each month, whether it's a dollar or three or five or whatever more. Every month, and you could do it by month or you could do it by project. So if you're like one of those, you know, I write a song every week, or a lot of video or podcast people do it too. Like, you know, we'll put out a podcast every week or something, and you could like give per episode or something like that. You could, on the back end, you could set it up how you want. And it's a pretty neat system. And Jack Conte got in some hot water recently, though. There was that story like, oh, Pomplemousse went out on tour and they did everything right and they still lost $14,000. And
that was an amazing article, by the way.
Sure.
Eye-opening. Sure.
Yeah. And then this big thing came out like, wait a second. He started because there's like a link or two in it to Patreon. Uh-huh. And people were like, oh, it was deceptive. It was all a marketing ploy to... raise awareness, whatever. That's how I feel about that. Because if you wouldn't...
Just to clarify, whatever is how you feel about the accusations. Not
what? Sorry?
Whatever is how you feel about the accusations, not towards Patreon. Is that
correct? Yeah. Okay. Right. So Patreon gets kind of some negative connotations, I think, from that. Some people are kind of bitter and jaded towards... Because there's some people on there that are making like $8,000 a month, which is crazy. And a lot of people aren't. But it's a neat system. And I use it for Skull Toaster. and have an okay success with it, like, you know, more than what I had a year or two, 3 years ago. So a couple bucks here and there helps pay the cell phone. So it's a pretty neat system.
I like the idea of being able to regularly support something like that. I have no experience with Patreon, but I certainly like the concept of it.
And of course, like, there's fees associated with it. There's a transfer fee, I think, or whatever the amount is that they take before they put it into your PayPal account or your bank account. Patreon takes a fee, of course. I forget what it is, the exact number, but at the same time, like, I don't know, someone like me who's now going to make this each month, it's like, it's a couple bucks. Yeah, sure, but like all the other couple bucks I didn't have before, so I'm kind of okay with it. And it's fun. I see a couple people using it. Property of Zach, the kind of the punk rock music blog out there, he's using it. I think he's up to like $200 a month now. 100 words or less podcast. Real neat, like, podcast series, interview series. He uses it. Ray Harkins. And so he gets paid like every month too from it and stuff. Not giant amounts, but whatever. Like, a lot of the people doing this is like, you know, for some it's not their main source of income. It's kind of nice income on the side for doing what you do, doing what you love, and people can support it, whether it's a dollar. I mean, there's a way too that you could do it. Like, you could give 50 cents, which is kind of weird, but it all adds up, because you're not paying. I'm not paying fees on that 50 cents, so that money is actually coming in. So it's kind of neat.
So you're not paying fees on the money that's coming in. It's just a transfer fee.
Right. Yeah. When it goes into my PayPal account, there's no fee for it, which is great. But I mean, you know, Patreon takes a cut. So.
Well, sure.
They have servers to run and people to hire and stuff. So
I hate to circle back to a point on a podcast, because a good podcast would just edit it.
That's okay.
But when you said all these accusations, and that's my stance on that, what happened? Like, can you go next level down on that? I don't know.
Jack Conte wrote that piece about the touring thing that a lot of people were interested in, that, you know, they toured, they did everything right, and they still lost $10,000 or $14,000.
Because we've seen all the ones where people say, like, oh, this band went on tour and they made $100,000, but they lost a bunch. But then you see the article and it's, oh, they had first class hotels and a traveling masseuse and stuff. But this article was, they did everything right and they still lost money.
When he wrote, like, what they spent on food. And I'm just throwing a number out there. It wasn't like we spent $8,000 on food. It was like we spent $6,793. Like, the dude, he kept all his receipts and adding them up. He's like, here's penny for penny, stroke for stroke, how the tour went. And we still walked out $11,000 shy or $14,000 shy, whatever it was.
Right. And within that whole big, it was a giant post. He uploaded, it was on Medium, which is a site where people can post stuff that they write.
Right.
And like a blogger or a Tumblr. And in it, once he wrote, you know, and then on Patreon, you know, we get money for each video we put out, or this, that, and the other. And it was like, that was it. He didn't like come out and say, like, Patreon, which I am a co-founder of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where a bunch of the hubbub came up.
Okay, so they felt so trolls who are going to talk smack anyway.
There were some big folk that talk smack about it. So
made it sound like he was steering people towards Patreon, but wasn't.
It was
being
deceptive.
Clean.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right. Right. Right.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters are going to hate.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I even tweeted about like Patreon on the Skull Toaster Twitter. And someone was like, someone replied, you know, oh, is that Jack Conte thing? No, thanks. I was like, I just replied, cool beans, dude. Like, right. All right, you know, if
look at you. Who says cool beans anymore?
Well, what? That's me. I'm not going to be like, no, this is my stance. No, I'm.
Right.
I mean, I guess I kind of took a stance here, but whatever. On Twitter, I'm not going to like get into a war about it. So.
That's what podcasts are for, Seth.
Yes.
Hear him a new ass.
Well,
I'm not, but It is what it is.
It's interesting to me that people can so quickly get some one-sided opinion of something and take such a hard stance on it when it's usually just flying off in ignorance for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. Right. I mean, the thing is, Jack Hunty didn't disclose in his post. Yeah, okay, and, this is me putting my hand up. Can I have a dollar? That's all I'm, Jack Connie's not making a bunch of money off of my $1 either, but can I just have a buck? Whatever. If we take that route, it's check out our new video. It's on YouTube. Yeah, right. YouTube. They're investors. What about our tour dates on Facebook? I don't go on Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg, right. We can't do anything because everything sucks.
I don't like that band because of their Twitter strategies.
Right.
Well, the problem is it's from the artist's side. These are just ways that we're trying to get paid.
Right.
Just trying to make money. You want music.
Yeah.
We need to be able to make money off of it. And it's a lot of ivory tower misunderstandings of music industry stuff. But, these are just normal people that are trying to make a buck. And the industry's been strangled to death by piracy. And
yep.
So it's the only way we can really compete is to try to cut out as many middlemen as you can and go as directly to people as you possibly can.
You definitely hurt the ivory tower people by stealing the music, but you trample the artist to death, the very people you want to support and love.
And the thing is, every excuse has been stripped away so far. The music industry is bad and they screw the artists, so I'm just stealing from them. And you're like, well, now you're just stealing from me.
Right.
So.
Yeah, right.
And
sorry, go ahead.
You made the point that you're just trying to make a buck. You're just trying to make money. And I mean, a lot of the bands that probably all of us here listen to and many people who listen to this podcast and even Solomores, you're not trying to make $1 million. You're trying to fund the recording of this music. You're trying to just get it out there. You're not, it's all out of your pocket. And most of these bands and all of us here, we're just working class dudes. And our, overtime or whatever goes, that's how Veritas is, my overtime goes to put out a record and I lose money on it, whatever. I don't care. I think a lot of bands are like that too. They're not at the caviar store polishing their monocle. They're trying to pay a couple bucks to press a CD,
First of all, you don't polish your monocle at the caviar store.
See, I don't know how these things work. Explain it to me, Travis.
You sound like you don't belong here in this club, Jesse. You're just embarrassing yourself. It sounds if Solomores was trying to make $1 million, we would have had to raise $2 million on Kickstarter anyway, after all the fees and taxes and everything.
Probably three or four, even.
Yeah, maybe more.
It's that misunderstanding. You only see in the popular media the tip of the iceberg of anything, whether it's, for every professional athlete there's hundreds of thousands of regular athletes and semi-amateur or semi-pro athletes that are just trying to make a living. And with music, you see the Britney Spears and you're like, oh, they're making a million bucks. And 99% of the music industry is working people whose greatest aspiration isn't to be a millionaire. It's just to be able to live hand to mouth.
And it's interesting to see that and to see how much money gets raised on these campaigns and how little actually makes it to the artist. And after the production of everything happens, usually none even stays with the artist. And yet for me as a consumer, I go on to whatever Kickstarter there is. And I like vinyl. I want the vinyl. And it's $50 on there. And I understand that they have to charge a lot to make that happen because of all these fees and because of all this overhead. But by doing things like this, all we're doing is perpetuating that overhead and feeding the machine that does that. And I'm not all anti-capitalist by any means, but the fact is there's a whole lot of people taking cuts that don't need to be involved. And I'm not paying $50 for an LP. I don't care who it is. I don't care what it is. I'm just not doing it.
The big problem with that, the merch type thing from a small artist perspective, is people like to compare, Amazon to somebody's Kickstarter. And you're like, well, why is Amazon selling it for $9 and you want $20 for the CD and, plus $11 shipping and $2 packaging or something like that? And you're like, well, that's how much it costs us. We're not Amazon. We're not ordering 200,000 units at a time.
We don't have helicopter drones to drop it off at your house when you order.
The quantity breaks just strangle you to death. So you want to get 20 t-shirts made, they're going to cost the artist $12 a piece to make. You sell them for 15 and you lose money in the deal. Right. Like same thing with CDs. Like we're paying, I don't know, like close to $4 if you get decent number of panels of the artwork. Whereas these guys are running them off for, you know, 75 cents.
Yeah.
So there's just near zero profit margins to work with.
And,
I understand.
And from the I don't know, quote unquote writer side of things, like running, say, Skull Toaster, like it's so much stuff that's like in the cloud, whatever. Like hosting, if you don't pay it a year at a time, can be as high as, you know, $5, $6, $7 a month. Mm-hmm. Domain names cost money. The tools that I use to manage and run Skull Toaster, I use Evernote. That's, you know, if I pay it by the month, that's $5 a month. Wait a second. I need to have access to every single metal album that's out there. So I have to have an RDO subscription. That's $5 a month. Right. Like, right. If I mean, that seems like, oh, it's just, but like from a standpoint of like kind of the starving artist kind of thing, that stuff adds up. And, mm-hmm. and that stuff's the difference between like keeping a website up or groceries for the week. Yeah. So, and again, it's not like some handout. Oh my, you know, I'm going to die if I don't make this, but it's just like so many people, so many artists, writers, painters, photographers are spending so much out of their pocket. Like it's just nice to be able to have a means, whether it's online and Patreon takes a cut or this, that, or the other, but like to be able to get anything is amazing. So
it really,
you know,
is.
I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I went on a family vacation this summer, Ocean City, Maryland. Every block, there's some dude making balloon animals. There's some guy dressed like the Cookie Monster. There's some guy playing a saxophone. There's some guy standing on his head. And they have the guitar case or the jar or something like that. And I saw this one-man band guy. He was playing Baby, I Love Your Way, but he was playing like this fast banjo. Yantic the Indian, baby, I love... Like cymbals clapping between his knees, one-man band, shaking his ass to do the kick drum.
And, can we get him on the podcast next week?
He was... I wish I knew his name.
Sounds awesome.
He was amazing at what he does. I don't need to see more than 5 minutes of that. But at the end, when he did the whole... everyone was like, yay! And they walked over and threw more cash into that cat's guitar case than I made last year at music. I watched
awesome.
It happen, and I was like, maybe we're all just doing this wrong. Like, this has turned into a big digital... We're trying to just put a guitar case out and digitally have everybody try to drop a dollar in, and apparently we're offending people by doing that. Screw you. I'll go play on a beach, dude. I'll get enough for, you know, get enough for something to eat and a margarita afterwards, and I'll sleep under the boardwalk. You know? Yeah.
People don't realize the overhead that does have to happen, like you're saying with Skull Toaster and all this little stuff. I mean, if I break even on every record I sell, I still lose money, because when I average out my web hosting stuff, everything that goes in that, all these little $10 things and $50 things, it costs me about $130 a month when I pay annually for this stuff to maintain Veritas Vinyl as a website without even putting out a record. And that includes hiring an accountant to file my taxes at the end of the year. What up, Sheldon? He gives me a good deal. Anyway. Sheldon. Anyway.
Shelly. Shelly now.
All that being said, there's a whole lot, and everybody's trying to nickel and dime you for, oh, just this web hosting, this whatever. And it's frustrating. And so
it's annoying.
People get
and
mad.
I feel like that's all anybody talks about anymore is this business side of it, and we can't figure it out. Nobody ever sits around and discusses the art anymore. Nobody sits around and discusses how much the music means to them. Or I know it sounds kind of hokey, but like, remember the first time you heard Anima from Tool and you were just like, jaw drop? You weren't sitting around thinking about like, I wonder if their manager's doing the right thing. I wonder if they had a better campaign to promote. It was just, you were too busy getting punched in the jaw the first time you heard it. It's completely flipped now. Like, I don't hear anybody coming on podcasts and talking about their art and how much it means to them and what they went through and everything. They're talking about how they're just like, can someone please send me a dollar so I can attempt to keep a roof over my head and do this again next year? It sucks. It totally sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since the industry's revenues drop down so significantly anyway, they really have to trim down and just focus on the sure things, which is why you're going to get the Justin Timberlakes and you're going to get the, you know, the Miley Cyruses and all that type of thing. They have to go where the money is. So all the somebody like Tool probably wouldn't make it these days as big as they were. You know, they're a great band, but they'd have been dumped for, you know, Avenged Sevenfold or somebody like that.
Right, right.
Well,
and hats off to Avenged. I don't like them, but they're doing something right. they command a lot of money to play festivals. I know that for a fact because I know the guy who runs Music Fest, and they did all right. But it's like Duff says, you know, Guns N' Roses toured for 2.5 years on the Use Your Illusion albums. They had to tour for 2.5 because they didn't break even until after the two. They only made money for a half a year. So I think, you know, Avenged Sevenfold might make a lot of money. They are the band right now with all the pyro and all the craziness and everything. But they probably have crews of dozens upon dozens of people. And, you know, they have a lot of insurance when they have fire and stuff. And, I mean, I don't know if they're as rich as people think they are. They're probably doing better than me, but I don't think they're billionaires, you know.
I guess now is where we would cut to an Avenged Sevenfold song, but we did that once on the podcast already. I think that's enough.
I refuse to let that happen.
Let's take a break and boost our street cred by playing some cool punk rock. Here's Apartment 3G.
Trav,
your thumbs down. That's one of the best bands ever to come out of the Northwest. I will slap you in the face at some point should we ever physically come in contact with each other.
I just wanted to see you get mad on the air, and it made my day. I'm so proud of myself. We were supposed to come back in all professional and everything, and now you're all pissy and everyone heard it.
I was going to say, I hope we tape that, right?
Yeah, we got the rage. We got the rage out there, Seth. Now they can all hear what we deal with. Alex, I'm embarrassed and I apologize. I'm
what
sorry.
What a display.
It's like we invited you for dinner. Outburst. We invited you for dinner, and he just slapped me across the dinner table, and now everything's awkward and weird.
Daddy still loves mommy.
We probably shouldn't laugh at that. That's probably a serious
yeah,
issue
that's not funny.
Has scarred chuckle. People.
Way to be, jerks.
Yeah, right?
All right, peaceful bearded Seth, please enlighten us with...
So here we start
I'm going to pull more numbers out of my beard. How about that?
Go.
I'm into it.
So two crowdsourcing projects that we figured we'd talk about. Knives, which is Ryan Clark of Demon Hunter and Randy Torres of Project 86. They had 2,000 backers.
I was one of them.
$82,000.
Good googly moogly.
I pledged $10 for the digital. I really like it. It reminds me of like Pretty Hate Machine, which was like the album for me when I was 13 or 14 or something.
I hate to steal Jesse's line, but I saw that the vinyl was $50 and I went, I'll steal it.
I had to pass on the vinyl. If it comes up on eBay or Discogs for $20, I might grab one or something, but I couldn't do $50 for an album. Couldn't do it.
But in our discussion, though, with Alex, we know that $82,000 on Kickstarter really isn't $82,000 in Ryan Clark's bank account.
Correct.
So,
right.
Probably quite a bit lower than that. So,
Alex, what do you think they made? What do you think they made, Alex? I don't mean to put you on the spot because you're not responsible for it, but $82,000 on Kickstarter in comparison. You said $6,000 for Solomors, and you walked out with $4,300 before taxes. So
probably a little over 50.
Okay,
I'd say.
So, congratulations, Kickstarter. Enjoy your $32,000.
Yeah, for just letting someone upload photos and write words.
Homina.
I mean, I understand why, like, when I sell stuff on eBay or Discogs, I understand they need to take a cut because they're providing the audience. I get it. But $32,000 for hosting the Knives Project on their website for 30 days, that seems insane. And, I mean, it could have even, who knows how much, I guess Kickstarter didn't get $32,000. Kickstarter got X amount of money. The payment service got X amount of money, but still, that's a lot of dough. That's a lot of people dipping in to your wallet. Trav, Seth, Alex, anybody who pledges these things, they're taking that money from you.
My minimalist wallet with your elastic strap that's falling off of it for the second time.
Damn it!
But yeah. Travis, wasn't there a project that you just funded?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. There's a local band around here called This Way to the Egress. They are
sorry. Yeah, definitely let's talk about them. But wasn't there that other band that was Exevious or whoever?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Wrong band.
We take both of them, whatever. It's
okay.
Cool.
I'll finish the first one. There's a local band from around here called This Way to the Egress. They're like a steampunk burlesque band. They're insane. And they went to New York and they got like a major producer and everything, and they put up a Kickstarter fund, and they were like, if we hit this amount, then we'll open up vinyl. And I'm like, Jesse, I wanted the record. So I waited and I waited and I waited, and I know Taylor, and I was like, I'm gonna wait, dude. I know you'll make it. Don't take it personally. I'm waiting. And then as soon as it was available, I grabbed it. It was like $35 for a record, and I was like, ooh, that's like the third most expensive record I ever bought. But I'm supporting people that I know. He and Sarah sang backups on my old band's old album. I'm happy to help out, you know, but to hear that all that money probably isn't getting allocated the way that they thought it was is a little disheartening. The other one you're talking about speaking of Cynic, I'm going to try to connect this the best I can. Timon, Alex? Timon?
Timon or whatever.
Timon? Yeah, he's from another country, so I'm gonna Americanize the hell out of his name. But he, two of the guys who now play for Cynic had another band called Exevious, and he spun off and started another band with the bass player called Our Oceans. And he met up with a woman who sings online and was just impressed with her vocals. And Our Oceans is like the Exevious version, with a, more of a song structure and more of a vocalist. It's not instrumental and everything. And he sent out, because I funded an Exevious album, he used that email list, emailed all of us and said, "Hey, you supported me before. I just wanted to let you know I'm involved in this new thing." And he put up like a 5-minute YouTube video and expressed what he was doing. And I watched it. And at the end, I went, "Yep, I support that." So I pulled the trigger on it and I sent, I don't know, $15 or something. I'm just getting the digital. There's no vinyl option. That's a bummer. But
But the interesting part about that, though, is it wasn't on Kickstarter.
No.
It was there, like, there are...
Yeah, you got me on the spot. Whatever. Man. Sorry, I don't know what it was.
No, 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 it's fine. No, it wasn't Kickstarter. It wasn't Indiegogo. It wasn't any of those. It was, like, a homebrewed...
Yep.
I think it was with PayPal or whatever, but, like, at least at that point, it was like, okay, now I got to pay PayPal. That's it. There was no Kickstarter. There was no other crowdfunding site involved. They did it themselves.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, for example, I just bought a record. It was $27, single LP, split between two bands, put out by STB Records, Wounded Giant, Goya Split, $27 on Crazy Splatter vinyl. I know that guy's not made, I know that's a reasonable price for that record. It's very limited. He's paying out, some probably in copies, licensing to the bands, everything that went in, that's probably a reasonable price, even though $27 seems like a lot. That was awesome. Super stoked to get that record. I don't know. It actually hasn't showed up yet, but that's awesome. But on the other hand, in addition to all these crazy $50 Kickstarters, Nate Allen just did a Kickstarter. And for $25, I supported it. I think it was $25. I'm pretty sure. And it was, you got a set of 4 laser etched mason jars, like custom.
What?
And the vinyl and a download and... all kinds of stuff for $25. And so
mason jars.
Maybe we need to get him on to find out, like, okay, dude, how did you make this happen at $25 for vinyl, mason jars, and all this other junk?
Which is good, because it covers both of my passions for collecting vinyl and pickling.
Well, they're for, like, honestly, dude.
I'm just trying to crack some jokes. You guys are such nerds. All you want to talk about is numbers.
Well,
anyone take pickling seriously anymore?
We do. That's all our glasses are mason jars because
that's for another episode, Travis. Please,
we'll have pickling. DIY canning on as an episode.
I can pickle that.
Cassidy will come on with me, and we'll be like, "Yeah, here's how you can stuff."
To Portlandia, I can pickle that.
Yeah, we make pickles. They're awesome. My wife's great at it.
That's awesome. No, we should totally have Nate Allen on. He's awesome. I've met him before, and he does some neat stuff.
I don't know him well. I just know him over the interweb type communication, but he does seem like a good
Alex,
guy.
Thanks for coming on.
Fan.
We're going to talk about whatever next guest. Yeah.
Man, I wish we talked to this other person.
You were
person.
So boring.
Yeah. Oh, we're the worst. I know it. So
getting into the... the big thing about Kickstarter is you're saying that, like, all the cuts coming out and you don't have to go through them, and so what will be good for the artist? Well, the problem that artists have is getting money up front to do the project, getting the things all centralized in one location, and then selling things afterward. Kickstarter obviously doesn't do any hosting, and nothing is centralized. Like, everything is, you know, hey, click a link to your YouTube video and click a this to your, you know, whatever SoundCloud page to hear the song and that type of thing. It would be nice if somebody like Bandcamp, who we make the biggest percentage of sales on of any of the services we use, did a crowdsourcing type thing, waived all the fees, and then you could host everything there and sell it, you know, in perpetuity or whatever, you know.
That's a good point.
You know, from an artist's point of view, that would be really nice to kind of centralize all that. And if they did, you know, because you have your landing page, if they did like a brief artist page to replace your website, your social media tie-ins, maybe like a Twitter feed, and then all that jazz. If they could post your stuff on iTunes, it would be even better. But, I mean, obviously they make less money that way. But, yeah, just bring it all in, make it music centralized instead of just some big general amorphous place that doesn't really give you much for their cut that they take.
Good point.
Excellent point. Yeah, I didn't think of that. You're right. Kickstarter's just we're gonna make it easy to steer towards making sure we get money at the end of it, but we're not really gonna help you with all the other little stuff.
It's like those annoying aggregate metal sites. They really don't offer you anything they came up with, and they're just annoying, except for they also take a bunch of money from you.
Right.
It's like if Loudwire suddenly was like, hey, give me half your money.
And they'd get it somehow. I looked up the Our Oceans thing, and it's just ouroceans.net is their website. And I just looked it up. They're only 61% of the way there for the goal, and I can't tell what the hosting is. I don't know. It's not Indiegogo. It's not Kickstarter. It's just some other thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is neat.
That is really neat. I love that idea. I guess I actually kind of have mixed. I like supporting the artist for sure. As a guy who's been dealing with pre-orders and stuff for the last 3 or 4 years with my label, I'm never doing a pre-order again. So there's, for a lot of reasons. So there's things that are cool, but I'm all for, like, if a band needs money to get their record recorded and blah, 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 whatever, I love supporting the artist, especially if you can do it directly like that. And in that situation, I probably wouldn't feel burnt about paying $50 for a record, because I know there's not just some handful of other companies taking their cut for no reason. That's what I was getting at when I brought up that Wounded Giant split earlier. That's what I was trying to get at is STB Records, like them or not, whatever, that money's going to them for them to put out more records. And
sure,
great. It's not 18 different companies each taking, you know, their 5% or something and leaving 10% for the user. That's ridiculous, and I hate that. Sorry.
So much hatred. So angry. This is the angriest episode so far.
Speaking of anger and hatred, we'll just do one more. Obituary raised over $60,000 to record their latest album. And they're on a label.
1%ers.
Well, they put it out. Right. They put it out through a label. But yeah, that was through Kickstarter, $60,000. And, you know, it came out last year, so...
Wow.
That's always interesting, too, because there's a few bands out there that are on labels that still kickstart their own recordings. And then there's, you know, groups of, you know, the haters, the trolls, whatever. Why isn't the label paying for it? And, you know, so many people don't understand that when the label pays for it, they don't pay for it out of the kindness of their hearts.
Nope, it's a loan.
It's a loan.
Yep.
Yeah. And then so if Obituary has to pay back, not $60,000, I don't think it costs them $60,000 to go into a studio, but like... Obituary's taking that money. They're making all this stuff themselves, and they're, you know, handing it over to a label and however they're doing it. Like, so that's a crap ton of money that they don't have to pay back to the label.
True.
So,
and Alex brought up a good point when we were talking on the break. Knives, I can't speak to what Knives is going to do for the future, but it's two guys doing electronic music. So if they decide to take that on the road, they're going to have to get touring musicians, and I don't see that happening, but what do I know? I'm not in the band. Obituary... There's just five dudes in a band. $60,000. It's 10 grand a piece. Guys are working on an album for a long time. It's not that much money.
It's probably like 35 grand that they walked away with to pay for the album, to pay for all this stuff.
That's true. I didn't even count the Kickstarter fees. I just took the 60. You're right. They only walked out with 35. Now you split that five ways, plus you got a guy that drives the van. I mean... Dude, it's not that much money. I'm telling you, you guys got to support
real fast.
You got to figure out how to support the bands that you guys listen to. Stop trying to listen to every band and support the ones that you love.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, for them to have raised the money and they got a lump sum or after the fees and this and that, great. They were able to record the money and not put $35,000 on their credit cards to record it and put out an album.
Right.
That was paid for. Awesome. Let's move forward now. So,
sure. Yeah.
That too.
When I was talking to Alex about this podcast, he said, yeah, I understand why there's haters out there for Kickstarter and everything, but some money is better than no money. You're right. It's a good point. You got to play the game. You want to make money, you got to spend money. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how to – I've learned a lot in the last 4 years. Do you want to know how to make a small fortune in the record business? Start with a big one.
I'm not interested in small fortunes at all. No, thank you.
Start with a big one. That's how you end up with a small one.
Yeah, that was the old joke. How do you make $1 million in the music industry? Sell 1 million in one album. But you know,
Start with 2 million. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
CD only costs 99 cents to copy. Yeah. Why does this album cost $12?
Every time you do that voice, I picture Milhouse from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It makes me smile. My mom says I'm cool.
My sweet, sweet treasure. Alex, we're about to head out of here and play some more music to get out. What else you got to talk about? You want to say anything else? You want to bitch at Kickstarter and tell them how terrible they are? Do you want to thank them? Do you want to? What do you got? You have the floor. 10 seconds. Go.
Or longer.
Well, it couldn't happen. Couldn't happen without something like that. So it was nice that they were there.
Sure, of course.
You know, it was still, you know, through unforeseen circumstances, our project dragged on longer than it should have and ended up, you know, being pretty tight on everything.
Yeah, but, sorry, hurt my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, our Travis broke down a couple times. So.
I broke myself. Sorry.
We've got a song about that, actually.
Well, I have a shoulder subluxation, which means that my shoulder is trying to, my right arm is trying to fall off, but it hasn't fallen off yet because it's attached with skin. But my ligaments and my tendons and everything have given up, and they would like my right arm to just leave. So when I had to call Alex and tell him, like, I have to go talk to professional people because my arm is falling off. I should probably stop coaching Little League and throwing 400 fastballs every practice 3 nights a week. My arm's going to die and rot off my body, so I can't record for a while. So, yeah, sorry for everybody that was like, where's my Solomors album? I was in pain. I'm very sorry. I did my best.
Didn't want to end up Def Leppard style.
But the drums are all fake anyway, right?
One arm.
That's right. Programmed them all. I told my wife I would use this analogy. She's listening in the next room too. Said, you know, Travis is like a sports car. When you pull up to the ball, everybody's like, "Ooh, that's sexy. The end project is good, but holy crap, is it a lot of maintenance?"
Well, piss off. I hope you get your ponytail stuck in a blender. Hey, at least I'm sexy up front. I'm sorry. I'm getting old, Natalie. I know you can hear me. Mail me a vegan lasagna or something.
All right.
Oh, brother. Play some music. I don't want to talk to these jerks anymore.
let's play. Is it cliche to play something from the Solomors album?
Yeah, but we're going to do it anyway.
Sweet.
Because, you know, Alex is on, so why wouldn't we?
We owe him that much.
Sure.
Free press. Woo.
All right. And, do we have another song to play after it? Is it just Solomors?
I don't know. Whatever you want me to play. You tell me.
Well, Seth put up a song.
I got a song we can play. Restore by the band Goes Cube.
Okay. So there you go.
All right.
We'll play some We'll play some Solomors with me on fake drums because I didn't play any of it because I was in a prosthetic sling. No, I'm kidding. They're real. And then we'll play some Goes Cube. And Alex, thanks a lot for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us. Come find us places on the interweb, and we'll talk to you next week.